in Galatians 5. Yesterday, why I talked about there were no chapter divisions is because the whole of Galatians 4 was casting out the bondwoman and her son. And the question then, who is the bondwoman and who is the son? The bondwoman is your natural progenity or whatever you came from. The son is you. And you cast it out, you divorce yourself, which is a nice, some of you should do that. You get a legal divorce from yourself because you found out that the self has been a masquerade. And so you cast out the bondwoman and her son. And be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. And then it talks about if you are circumcised, Christ profiteth you nothing. Well, circumcision is a general kind of. Paul uses it as a way of saying being under some kind of law. If you're trying to get something done by natural means. And so if you're circumcised, Christ has profited you nothing. And so now in verse 4, in verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, you are fallen from grace the moment that you bring self back into the picture. It doesn't mean it's like you're walking along a path and the path is good and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to go over here and investigate something off the path. The mechanism is always within you to return to the way. The way is Christ. But that way will always take you through things that you don't like. And the temptation and the test will always be for you to do something about it. And that's symbolically being circumcised. And remember, the 23rd Psalm is critical because it encapsulates this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am never in need, no matter what my senses tell me. Nothing ever needs to be different than it is. No matter what it looks like. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me always to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or the waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's the path, that's your life. You have walked and are walking through the shadow of death. Every time you think that there is no light where you are because you believe that God has forsaken you, so death is separation from God. You're walking through the shadow of death every single time you come upon something you don't like. Anything that causes you to doubt yourself or your position. That, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Nothing evil can happen, no matter what it appears, no matter what it seems, no matter what all your voices are telling you. Above all things, you must by now know that to lean on your own arm of understanding to get you off that path is circumcising yourself.
Do everybody understand that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The correction, the reproof, correction comforts me. He's prepared a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies, that I always have sufficient. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I always never just have enough. I always have much more than enough. And surely goodness and mercy. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever means now. That's where my dwelling is. That's where my home is. That's where my life is seated. On the mercy seat in the house of the Lord. I will dwell there forever. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, is what it says. But in the Hebrew it says, shall pursue me all the days of my life if I can just get over me. If I can just stop being me. If I can leave me behind. If I can leave all the phony definitions of what life has brought to me behind and live in that moment of second-by-second dependence, then goodness and mercy are pursuing me the minute I sit down and stop leaning in my own arm of understanding. To do something else, to dwell in your mind and your thoughts of the way you think things should be, is to lean on your own arm of understanding. The moment you've done that, you've gone off the path. You've sold your birthright. But praise God, because of His long suffering, you're not as Esau because you sold your birthright and there's no getting it back, but because Christ indwells you and He is the fullness of Godhead in you, just by Father, forgive me, I can return to the path or to the way. He's never going to show you the way. He is the way. He's never going to show you the truth. He is the truth. He's never going to give you life. He is life. Now, the reason I said all that is so you can understand how easily you fall under the yoke of bondage. You can do it thousands of times a day. But we, as opposed to all that, we wait, because waiting is love. We wait for the hope of righteousness, which is always manifest, which is always there. We're just waiting for to be able to perceive it. Can you understand? You don't have to fight anymore. It's over. You lost. Now, are you going to continue to raise yourself up again? You going to jump off the mercy seat so that you can go your own way again for the 5,000,000th time? I can promise you, with everything in me, that way is the way of fools. And I can promise you, if you stay 100% dependent, knowing by faith that everything is exactly as it should be for you at this time, and rest therein, your life will be transformed. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. And again, remember, it says the law here. In the Greek, it just said who are justified by nomos. Nomos simply means the way a thing works. You're trying to return to cause and effect. You're trying to return to the beggarly elements of the world. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope righteousness. We don't lean on our own arm of understanding. We don't no longer insist on our own way. Because self has been crucified. And your own way is just the manifestation of the instead of Christ. If you want to live with the instead of Christ or the Antichrist, that's your business. But my business is to tell you what you're doing. You hear that, Mr. Harry? Aren't you tired of living and massaging the Antichrist? You notice I just said massaging? Anybody? What's going on? Somebody over in that must be you. Angela?
You really slapped me with, he's never going to show you the way, he is the way.
You're the only one that he slapped.
Well, it hit me really deeply.
Good. You understand it?
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
For we through the Spirit wait. Remember, waiting and love are the same thing. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. The hope of righteousness is alive. It's an alive hope. It's the resurrection of the fullness of Jesus Christ from the dead in you. Nothing else matters. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but only faith which worketh or is energized by love. And we just found out, you might as well say only waiting which is energized by love. Only waiting, faith, love which is energized by faith. It's the same, they energize each other. You did run well. Who did hinder you? What the hell happened? Who did run well? You did run well. Who did hinder you? Now, if you read commentaries in this, they say, that's just talking about the Galatians back there because there were some Judaizers back there that were trying to... No, it's far more reaching than that. Galatians touches the heart of every man, if you can see it. If you want to dispensationalize it and put it back there... That's okay. Now, the book of Galatians, if you really hear it, is a book about Abraham. He just cast out the bondwoman, Hagar, and her son, Ishmael, threw them out into the arid desert. I guess that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Is it oxymoron? No, it's not an oxymoron. It's redundant. It's too early to use big words. In this milieu.
Or at least correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can use
them. Joyce Santa, shut up. Do you see what I have to put up with every morning? Do you know that genre is pronounced Jean? Genre is who she married, Jean. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Obey always means hear the fullness of the perfection of God under every circumstance you're in. Who hindered you? Well, I can tell you. You did. Oh, no, it was that situation I was in over there when that person did something to me and I got really mad. No, you, the instead of Christ, hindered you. He caused you to eat of the apple. He caused you to move off the path. He is you. There is no other excuse. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion or this attitude cometh not from him that has called you.
It comes from the former resident of that temple called you, who was raised himself from the dead, from the deadly hen wound, except you have raised him from the dead by giving importance to you. You have breathed life into the Antichrist. Anybody have any questions or any? Everybody understand this perfectly? You might as well consider that you, or the Antichrist, the one and the same, it's a blow-up doll. And in order for you to get seduced, you have to blow the doll up. And I don't need to take that analogy anymore, do I?
No.
So your little rubber dolly friend, tell us the name of your friend, Harry. Hinder you that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, but a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The body of Christ many times is called the lump. Leaven, when it's put into something, touches, just like salt does. Salt does it in a positive way, because it salt, being the component of eternity, salt had to be in every sacrifice. But leaven is never in a sacrifice except in the one on the Feast of Pentecost, when two leavened loaves are offered. Because God, and it, thank God it was the leavened loaves that were offered, because had it not been, we would have been without hope. But the leaven is of three kinds in the Scriptures. It's the leaven of Herod, which is hypocrisy, not speaking what's there, just sort of living in your own little, and your outward expression doesn't meet that which is going on within you. That's the leaven of hypocrisy. I mean, the leaven of leaven of the Pharisees. Excuse me. The leaven of Herod is the leaven of seeing lack, looking around and thinking that something is wrong. You see lack. That's the leaven of Herod. And the third one is the leaven of the Sadducees, in which you do not believe that Christ has been resurrected in you, so you're left to your own devices. Now that little bit of leaven, you just put a teeny bit of leaven, it will touch every molecule of the lump that it's in. The leaven that's within you is touching the church in Thessalonica, just as the faith of the church in Thessalonica is touching you. The leaven leavens the entire body of Christ without regard to time or space. And it's time that it be gone. It's time that it stop being excused as, well, that's just the way I am. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Everybody see that? I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And whosoever he be is each one of you. There's the president of the foundation. The leader of the free world. Did you tell him about the visitor that wanted to see the president or the head of the foundation, Johnny, little Johnny?
Yeah.
Oh, so Johnny doesn't know what it's about. He doesn't know what I'm busting him about. We'll explain to it later. He already thought he was the chairman of the world anyway. I have confidence in you that through the Lord that you shall be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And the he is you. I mean, there can be another idiot around, but the idiot won't bother you unless it has some, his idiocy has something to connect with. The only way you can get mad at somebody is that if there's if there's a place of connecting. So in any case, the idiot is always you. Maybe prompted by another idiot, but he's lesser an idiot than you are. Does everybody see that? Oh, I'm so mad at that person. Well, you just revealed your stupidity. Huh, Harry?
Go ahead, Harry, say so.
Jack Benny was the first Huffy. Do you know that Jack Benny and Harry were related? Our spiritual mother and sister? That's four, Harry. You counting? For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Total freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The word serve there, doulos, means that your being is always at the expense of you. That's why the doulos was a bond slave that had no life but that of his master. Here, the serving that we do that manifests and reveals the agape, if that he really is your life, or you're just acting, is that you will always prefer another's interest over your own. Because your own, you have no interest. There is no more home in you for self-interest. You can no longer be deceived by self-interest. So if you get mad or upset vis-a-vis the call on your life to lay down the right to yourself for another person, again, it's only that the idiot has raised himself. And it cannot be dealt with by, oh, God, I should do that or I shouldn't do that. No, the only way it can be dealt with is, oh, my God, again, this sucker has deceived me. I've been deceived as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Something has deceived me from the simplicity that is in Christ. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. And the words, both words are for bite and devour, are Greek words that describe the action of wild animals. Like a dog or a hyena going after a rabbit or something. It's two wild animals going after each other that have absolute. It's just flesh. It doesn't. It's impossible for it to be right. Now, the way you see this most clearly is in marriages. There's no other place where you bite and devour one another more with more pristine clarity. If you don't share that, what's going on with the body, then your marriage is meaningless because you don't see that it's for the purposes of his body. It's the mystery, and you're just a couple of animals fornicating, calling it marriage. Peace? Anybody see that? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall no longer or not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
This isn't talking about sex. It's talking about the lust of the flesh is that which always wants more than it has, always wants its condition to be different than it is. It's never ending. And walk in the Spirit doesn't mean I'm going to go around speaking in tongues 24 hours a day. To walk in the Spirit means that you've left you behind. And you have always come to this place. Whenever you become the subject of your sentence in your mind, that's the Holy Spirit's signal for you, oh my God, to walk away from the dung hill. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires, the rudimentary, I can't even say the words right, but the rudimentary desires of all flesh. Oh, but mine's a good desire. No. Mine's ambition. Because I've put God's name on it. I'm doing it all to the glory of God. No. If you're doing it to the glory, if you think you're doing something to the glory of God, then you fall into a word that we're going to see the next time we meet called vainglory. It means vain conceit. It's something you are doing is for the benefit of God. Because what you've done, and you've left the mystery and returned to self and put God's name on it. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. Is that clear? I won't mention any names, but a couple times when we've had visitors, when they talk like that, I just want to go for the throat. But since I've become a kind and gentle guy, I just go for the gonads. That's also next. If he says it, we just brushed over it. I didn't talk about it, so to speak. But it says if you're going to get circumcised, you might as well cut the whole damn thing off. That's what Paul said in Galatians 5. If you're going to, it's just, what are you smirking about?
She's got 17 days off.
That's a, she has a lame bob, bobbit, and she's
king of the universe.
All right. Anybody have any response? You got anything to say?
Me? I'm too close to Harry.
Why?
I said that's why Kevin sat way over there, but he made the mistake of sitting next to Gary. That's not the safe spot.
I didn't pick on either one of them today.
I've been good.
Huh?
You will.
Gary's been good.
Oh, God. I just told you what vainglory was. You don't need to try, Gary. Take it, big guy.